T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Anytime you turn on YouTube, I'll let it play a little bit. It's going to happen that way. Hello, everyone. Welcome to KMOX at your service. George Sells with you tonight until 10 p.m. Love a little YouTube. Love listening to the news and hearing things that make you wonder about somebody's job. Did you catch the part about they're testing wastewater, looking for the Omicron variant? I'm sure I'm saying that wrong, but we were just having a conversation about how that's impossible to say, but we'll get there. But they're monitoring the wastewater. So how would you like to be the guy that has to take that sample? Every week you go out there with your little cup into the sewage plant and God knows what you're scooping up. It's not even every week. It's probably every hour. So you can take it in and put it under the microscope. Just little things to think about. If you're thinking your job is kind of annoying, you're at least not in that boat. But, you know, what are you going to do? So, we will not be talking about this all the way up till 10 o'clock. What we will be talking about, a variety of items to get into, really. For starters, I'm just going to ask kind of a personal question and throw it out there for anyone who wants to talk about it. Christmas lists. When are you too old to make a Christmas list? Now, obviously, the kids. Yeah, my kids are 12 and 16, and you know those Christmas lists are done. They're ready. They're. I used to say they're on the fridge. They're not on the fridge anymore. They've been texted to me. That's how it works now. But they're ready to go. But for years, I mean, my wife and I have been married since 1998, 23 years of marriage, and my wife every year, you're gonna make a Christmas list. And I'm like, kids make Christmas lists. Adults don't make Christmas lists. Well, there are pro and con arguments. We will get into that coming up here in a little bit. Should adults make Christmas lists? Is it childish? Is it like you're expecting something? Of course you're expecting something. It's Christmas. You want something. But anyway, we'll get into that coming up in a little while. Also, we've been talking around town for the last week, almost nonstop, about what should be done with Stan Kroenke's money. The Rams lawsuit, the NFL lawsuit, bringing, what is it, $980 million total? First thing, I'd like to be the lawyer who's collecting 35% of that. But absent of that, you still have about $500 million to be split up between the city, the county, and the Convention and Visitors Bureau, or the folks who run the convention center. So we've heard a zillion things about what should be done with that, from cutting checks to every individual in St. Louis City and county to a variety of other ideas, fixing roads, paving roads, fixing sidewalks, all that sort of thing. Well, one thing that was also proposed, and this came up in an editorial, I believe Tony Messenger wrote it in the Post-Dispatch, was something called the Kalamazoo Promise. Kalamazoo, Michigan, is where this originates. And about, what has it been, 15 years ago almost, 2006. I'm not supposed to do math on the air. I'm told it's bad for me. 2006, a couple of anonymous donors got together and started a fund. They started it with about $80 million. And the promise was this: if you graduate from the Kalamazoo Public Schools, your college tuition will be paid for. Period. Now, the Kalamazoo Public School System, not too terribly different from the St. Louis Public Schools. And I mean, I speak from firsthand knowledge. Just to be fully transparent, I work for the St. Louis Public Schools, but I'm not getting into this conversation for that reason. I'm getting into this conversation because it's interesting. But the Kalamazoo Public School System, a lot of kids in poverty, something like 75% of their students get some kind of government assistance for lunch every day. It's not dissimilar to our district. And all of a sudden, every kid in that district finds out if you graduate, you're going to get free college if you go to an in-state school in Michigan. And first it was just the public schools, and now they've broadened it to several private schools in Michigan also. Well, what has happened? For one thing, the student rolls have gone up significantly in Kalamazoo, Michigan. They're up by close to 20%. Between 16 and 20%. I've seen some different numbers on that. And you have a much higher number of kids going to college. Now, it's not perfect. There are holes in it and all that sort of thing. But think about this for a moment. What something like this could do for St. Louis. A lot of people I have talked to over the last several years in my position working for the school system, back when I was a reporter at Channel 2, a variety of things in private business in between, the folks in the business world will tell you, the folks at Cortex will tell you, among others, that for this city to make that run into something more than it is today, to be the next Silicon Valley, if you will, the next Austin, Texas, whatever it is. But for this city to really flourish, the school system will have to lead the way. Now, why is that? The schools have to lead the way because we need education. We need an educated workforce that can handle the demands of a 21st century economy and that can flourish in jobs that require the use of technology, jobs that require the use of your brains over your brawn, if you will. It's vital. And for a school system to lead the way to that, I'll tell you what, the idea of every kid knowing that they're going to go to college, that could be a big part of that. That could be the game changer. That could be that game-changing moment. One man's opinion. But I'm going to be talking with an alumni of the Kalamazoo Project who now works for the Kalamazoo Project. And he talks both about, he can talk about it both from the kid's perspective when he's in high school and the adult perspective now, and seeing it from the standpoint of the folks that operate that fund now 15 years later. And they've had a lot of success. So we're going to get into that. But it's really interesting to me. We talk about finding game changer moments for this city and something like, and doing something like that with that money. I mean, you know, give me a break, write a check to everybody. Cause so everybody gets a check for $200. Woohoo. Don't forget the taxes. You'll probably, that would have to come out of it first. That's a waste of time. You know, there are other good things that could be, it could go toward, but let's face it. If you use the money to pave roads and fix sidewalks and stuff like that, you're just throwing cash, and then it's gone. Something like this, you take this fund and you invest it the right way, you can do almost all of your spending off the interest and off the profit. You don't even touch the nut. Say they took $250 million of the $500 million. You could literally use money that you're making between profits on investments and just the basic interest that that kind of money would collect. And that's a lot of money. And you could run this program and still have that money there. Think about that for a second. You put a bunch of kids through college who probably wouldn't get a chance otherwise in many cases, and the money's still there and can be used a little bit at a time toward other things as well. This is the kind of thing that can be generational. And whether it's this or some other plan that does something similar to that, that is the kind of thing that could make this lawsuit really, you know, be a benefit for St. Louis. And wouldn't it be great to talk about the thousands of St. Louis kids years from now that Stan Kroenke put through college? I think that would be the ultimate, you know, thumb to the nose for that guy. His Rams are playing in a half-empty stadium. He's losing his backside, and he's educated half of St. Louis. I think that'd be awesome. So we'll get into that. That's coming up later on in the next half hour. And We'll get to that Christmas list question coming up here in just a moment. It's 8:15. I'm George Sells. Thanks for being with me. You're listening to KMOX. Okay, that's ZZ Top. We were just having a conversation in here about the Green Day. Remember when Green Day played at the NHL All-Star Game? And that, well, and they played a free, quote-unquote, show. Show might be quote-unquote also outside before the game. And it was basically for NBC to get some cool crowd shots and stuff. And they played like four songs, which, it's four songs. It's Green Day. It was free. People were complaining because it was very cold. My daughter was very cold. My son was okay with it. My daughter was like less than interested because he was freezing. But memories down, a little trip down memory lane as we look out the window here from the Park Pacific building where you could have just about seen that performance or at least seen the crowd overflow from here. No doubt about that. That was a good time. So here's the question. We've been talking about it, or I mentioned it earlier, but I'll get into it from the top here. And it's about Christmas lists. You know, obviously it is that time of year, every time to get out and do the shopping or go online and do the shopping, whatever your preference. And everybody's always wondering what everybody wants. You know, different people in your family. My father is impossible to shop for. My father is listening, by the way. So I'll tell you this to your face through a 50,000 watt radio station. You are impossible to shop for. It's a chore every year just to try to think of that perfect thing. Or whether it's clothes, whether it's gadgets, whatever. Now, my kids, because they're kids, they have already penned the perfect Christmas list with everything they could ever imagine and hope for or want. You know, when they're 12 and 16 now. When they were littler, it was cute. They'd write it out with a crayon. We put it up on the refrigerator and go out and go shopping and go looking around and get all their stuff and, you know, go through the rest of the deal with that. Now, of course, it comes by text. That's how it operates. My daughter had a very detailed list that she was ready to text me last week just to make sure everything was done in time for Thanksgiving in case I happened to get out early. You know, very kind of her. But my son, he moves a little slower. He's the 16-year-old. Yeah, I'll get you something, I swear. But it's, you know, he understands how this whole thing works. So the list is prepared. So what about us? What about adults? And this is the question. And the lines are open. Give us a call, 314-436-7900. Or maybe even more easily, you can text that number. We'll go with a text here or two. You can also hit me up on Twitter, at George Sells on Twitter, if you prefer to communicate via social media. And the question is a simple one. Are we all too grown up to make a Christmas list? Now, there are pros and cons here, obviously. The pro Christmas list group would talk about the simple efficiency. If you tell people what you want, you are more likely to get things that you want, as opposed to, you know, that glove compartment organizer that relative bought you that one year and you're like, hey, great. I mean, I don't know about you, but my glove compartment, it's like by the time you have the two manuals for the car and like a couple of receipts from oil changes shoved in there, you can't fit anything else in that thing. I mean, come on. But I got a glove compartment organizer. What are you going to do? It's the thought that counts, but it's also, you know, somebody got themselves a nice glove compartment organizer at Goodwill one day because I had nothing else to do with it. And that's just, those are the kinds of things you get. So the pro Christmas list folks would say, yeah, help a brother out. It's hard to shop for people. Give us a list of three or four things and everybody's happy. Now, on the other side of the coin, you have those who would say, you know, number one, it's kind of presumptuous. You know, I've got my Christmas list ready, everyone. Who needs me to send them a copy? Yeah, it seems a little weird. And then is it childish maybe a little bit? Because everybody, this goes back to thinking of the kid with the crayon and, you know, drawing up their Christmas list. And, you know, again, the cute kid factor. You're not a cute kid anymore. There's nothing cute or kid about me. I'm a 51-year-old man who trying to decide if he's read out a Christmas list or not. I'll give you the spoiler on this one. I gave in this year. 23 years of marriage. I always dragged my feet about it. I don't know why either. I don't know what I was worried about. I guess I was kind of embarrassed, but I felt because my wife would always ask for it, and not even just for her, but for like, you know, my mother-in-law will call her and, hey, what does George want? And, okay, that makes sense. And so this year I finally said, you know what? I'm going to stop dragging my feet. It'll make life easier for other people. So I went ahead and did it. Okay. Producer Jake Baumgartner across the table from me. Jake, what say you?
Hello, hello. I am fully in on the Christmas list thing because I'm a terrible gift giver. I'm not good at it. If you want me to get you something for your birthday or Christmas and you give me zero ideas, you're not getting something good. So I like having the guidance of a Christmas list. And as far as like me making one for somebody else, I only think about how I would feel without a Christmas list. Like I would prefer to have one. Right. And so I treat it the same way. That being said, my Christmas list is always very short because I'm 24 going on 25 in a couple of weeks. And like all the stuff that I want is expensive and I feel bad asking for it.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, do you feel a little weird? You're a 25-year-old man putting, you know, grown-up toys on a piece of paper going, here, Mom.
Yeah, no,
that's the hard part.
I don't feel so bad. And I think it's because people ask for, and it could just be that people ask for a Christmas list. So I never really think about it as I'm an adult making a Christmas. Like you asked what I wanted. So I'll let you know as soon as I think of something.
And that's the trick. The trick is
coming up with a list. Oh yeah. Yeah. Cause like all year long, I'll be like, wow, that's a great Christmas idea that I should tell my mom come November. And that'll happen in July. And then November rolls around. She's like, do you have a list for me? And I'm like, I want one thing and it's $200. She's like, I'm going to need more than that. And so I'm down with the Christmas list.
Yeah. And for me, it's like, it's a toughie, you know, cause you don't want to like, again, you feel presumptuous or something.
You do. It's weird asking for things. Like
yes.
For specific things. And I think if you view the Christmas list as a guide more or less than like an instruction manual, it's like, here are things that I would like. Like, it's like if I put a guitar on my Christmas list, maybe you don't get me a guitar, but you get me some cables or some more strings or a guitar case or something. Like, so it inspires the idea.
Mrs. Baumgartner, are you listening right now? So guitar cables, strings, picks. There
sounds
we go.
Good to
We've
me.
Got good stuff. We got good stuff.
There's the list right there.
And
it was all through inspiration.
And floor mats for IKEA, maybe on this end, you know, whatever. So there are our ideas, but it's that shopping time. Time for us to get out there and get on it. Can you believe it's almost Christmas?
I'm trying not to think about it.
It is stressing me out a little bit.
I'm trying not to worry about it because I haven't done any Christmas shopping.
Used to live in New York and there's a phrase called agita. Gives me agita, and it's just like it's an upset stomach. It's like heartburn.
Yeah,
and but it's a great word, agita. And
I'm gonna remember. How do you spell that?
I don't know, but I can tell you the Christmas shopping gives me agita. 8:28 on KMOX. We'll be right back. Back with you on KMOX at your service on a Wednesday night. I'm George Sells with you up until 10 o'clock. Of course, the big topic for about the last week all over St. Louis has been what is the city, the county, and the Convention Bureau going to do with all this money that we are coming into from the St. Louis Rams? About $500 million being split up after you take out all the lawyers' fees. Good to be a lawyer. And a lot of ideas floating around. Now, one that was pitched in an editorial in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch and is just very interesting, I've done a lot of reading up on this, is to do something emulating what's called the Kalamazoo Promise. What is that, you ask? Well, back in 2006, a group of anonymous donors started a fund in Kalamazoo, Michigan. And the deal is pretty simple. If you graduate from the Kalamazoo public school system, you're going to get your college tuition paid for. Free college. And it has done wonders for that city and that school system. Apparently about a 16% jump in attendance since that happened back in 2006. And on the line right now, we have one man who both benefited from the promise and now works for the promise. Dante Hudson, Kalamazoo class of 2008, joining us now on KMOX. Dante, thanks for being with us.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Well, Dante, tell me first of all about what this meant to you as a teenager coming out of a public school system who wanted to go to college and suddenly having a lot more opportunity in front of you.
Oh, yeah. I mean, within Kalamazoo Public Schools, like it's a lot of inner city kids. So resources can sometimes be kind of scarce. Myself personally, I always knew I was going to go to college. Like that was a no brainer. This just gave me another resource to pay for that school and that education. So, you know, like a lot of others in our city, college was always a part of the plan. It's just, you know, financial aid and if parents saving up enough money, you know, since we were born, stuff like that was always in the back of our minds. So this just helped take a burden off of us, I guess you would say.
So you go to Michigan State, you graduate from there, you come back to Kalamazoo, and now you're working for this group. What do you tell people who don't know much about the Kalamazoo Promise? What's the elevator pitch? What do people need to know about why this worked not only for you, but why it works for your city?
Within Kalamazoo itself, like, you don't have to say much. I mean, from the inception of the Kalamazoo Promise till now, you can see how the city of Kalamazoo has evolved on a financial level. It's a lot more diverse. There's a lot more to do in Kalamazoo just because those resources are there. There's more people, more jobs, you know, housing. Like all around, it's just a lot better since the Kalamazoo Promise has been a thing. So it kind of sells itself in a sense. But I coach basketball at the local high school that I went to now. So I get a opportunity to, I don't know, instill the importance of education and taking advantage of the Kalamazoo Promise with my players. I mean, that in itself, like just the opportunity to do that every day is great. And then me working directly with the Kalamazoo Promise, I mean, just hits the nail on the head. It's just a cherry on top.
How do the schools look different now to you? Like the school you went to, it's got to look a little bit different. There's got to be, I know that the enrollment has grown. Mm-hmm. That is an issue that they've fought with in St. Louis. The St. Louis public schools have fought with that eroding student body and wanting to grow it. How does your school look different now?
Maybe a little more crowded just with all the people moving to the area since the Kalamazoo Promise came into play. My graduating class was like 360, and at the time that was pretty big. You know, we had about 1600 students in the school at that time. Now it's, I think it's close to like 2100. So yeah, I mean, as far as the diversity within the school, like that, you know, that's always been, great. Like it's always been very diverse, you know, when walking the halls of Kalamazoo Central, but so that hasn't changed, but there's a lot more people.
And do you find that you were talking about getting to kind of pitch college and constantly pitching the ideas that go with the promise to the kids who play basketball for you? Do you find that more kids are talking about college just as a matter of course, as a matter of this is something I'm going to do, maybe than they were when you were in school?
Yeah. Especially nowadays, like before. I mean, if you had your high school diploma, you could get a job. Now the little bit more competitive, you know, no matter what field you're in. So that college education, you know, that's going to help, you know, when you're out job hunting. So the conversation around college is more, I don't know, more common, I guess you would say. Now, just picking a school to go to now is the main topic, the main conversation with a lot of the students within KPS, because when the Promise first became a thing, it was only public schools that it would pay for, no private schools and stuff like that. But now, within the last few years, public schools have been, or private schools have been added to that list as well as trade schools. So there's a lot that the Promise can do for you now. So, like I said, it's just more resources and more opportunity for the kids in our area.
And it's amazing that that fund began, if I'm not mistaken, with about $80 million. Is that correct?
I'm not sure of the exact number. And I was only a sophomore in high school.
I was going to say, you were a high school kid. I'm not going to put you on the spot with that one. And for the record, folks, Dante is the alumni coordinator, so he's not in the money section of things. It's not fair to drop that on him. But I read somewhere it was about $80 million, so we'll go with that. It's got to be pretty amazing how they run that in a way to keep that fund growing and to be paying out. I believe they're now at $120 million roughly that they have paid out since this started in 2006.
Yeah. And it's opened the door for the organization to, I don't know, create more jobs. Like the alumni coordinator job that I have, like that's a new position. But it's pivotal, you know, because we need volunteers for different programs that we want to run with the Kalamazoo Promise and, you know, other community leaders. So it's my job to reach out to, you know, anyone who's taking advantage of the Kalamazoo Promise and see, you know, how they can help try to retain, you know, some of this top talent to stay, you know, in Kalamazoo instead of, you know, getting your degree, then I'm moving across the country to LA or something.
Yeah, that brain drain's a tough one.
Yeah. So, yeah, that the retention, you know, and keeping people here in the city is huge because there's so much more opportunity, you know, more jobs and everything. So, yeah, that's my role. We've got a new building. So, you know, there's a lot going on within our organization. So, you know, the money has to stay there for us to, you know, keep doing what we're doing.
So if you get a chance to talk to the city fathers and mothers of St. Louis, what would you tell them about the idea of doing something like this here?
I mean, that'd be the best step in the right direction for your city, for the future of your kids, just all around, you know. Well, you're going to love it.
Well, Dante Hudson, thank you very much for joining us again. Dante works as the alumni coordinator with the Kalamazoo Promise. He is a Kalamazoo Central grad from 2008 and went on to Michigan State University. All that paid for by this fund in Kalamazoo, Michigan. Fund set up by anonymous donors, by the way. Is that a big mystery? Do you guys try going looking for the donors sometimes, try to figure out who they are?
I mean, everybody thinks they have an idea of who it may be, but as far as I know, there's only one person outside of that list of donors who knows, you know, everybody on that board. So
good stuff. Well, anyway, Kalamazoo has two anonymous donors who have started a fund like this. St. Louis could have Roger Goodell and Stan Kroenke paying college tuition. Dante, thank you very much for joining us on KMOX.
Thank you.
It's a heck of an idea, isn't it? One thing to think about. Some food for thought. Any of you city leaders out there, that might be one to chew on a little bit. It's 8:42. I'm George Sells, and you're listening to KMOX. 8:48, KMOX at your service. George Sells in with you until 10 o'clock tonight. This is an interesting little thing. It's not very often that I will find myself sitting on the air with an interest in talking about the St. Louis City Planning Commission. Boy. Talk about sexy. Yeah, the Planning Commission. That's going to sell. People love the Planning Commission. Get excited just thinking about it. Okay, this is actually kind of cool. It goes toward changes, improvements, things that make the city more livable, make it more attractive to folks coming from outside. The Planning Commission voted 8-0 today to rezone that spot in Midtown where it's a bunch of warehouses and schmutz. You know, there's nothing that nobody's living there. There's no business to go to there. It's on the edge of the SLU campus. There's an athletic field in there, but besides that, it's a bunch of old warehousey stuff. Well, they have voted in favor of zoning it for a 68,000 square foot outdoor recreation and golf entertainment center. Translation, Topgolf. World's worst secret in St. Louis right now, if it's meant to be a secret at all. But they did not disclose who the owner was in the paperwork, according to the Post-Dispatch. But it's been talked about for some time, and apparently Topgolf has even confirmed that that's where they want to go. Well, today they got their blessing from the city fathers and mothers. Don't want to forget the mothers. But Topgolf apparently is going to be headed for Midtown. It'll be the second location. You know, the one out in Chesterfield you've seen if you drive on I-64 going anywhere to the West or coming back from the West. It's not very often that a business becomes the part of the traffic report almost every day. But anytime there's a traffic jam in Chesterfield, now it comes down to how far is it backed up from the Topgolf? So now we're going to get to have a Topgolf reference on the traffic reports for traffic in the city as well. But more to the point, think about what's coming up in that area now. I mean, I remember 25 years ago when I was first coming to St. Louis and spending time here, the area around SLU, there wasn't much to see. I mean, no offense if your favorite bar or warehouse is down there, but there just wasn't much going on there. You had the campus, and then it just kind of turned into just sort of space that didn't have a whole lot happening. And talk about the transformation that area has made over that last 25 years. It's really kind of incredible. Some of it goes back to the rather controversial SLU president, whose name escapes me right now, but who I'm talking about. Was it Biondi? Did it ring a bell to you, Jake? President of SLU back in the day, real controversial.
I couldn't tell
okay,
you.
Okay, sorry.
I can Google it for you. What kind of day are we talking about?
Okay,
we're
talking
back
about
in the day?
President of St. Louis University, probably 5 years ago, went to work at the Vatican. A lot of people loved him. A lot more people hated him. Very outspoken.
Oh, the SLU alumna and volunteer awarded papal knighthood? Is that what we're talking about?
No.
You say Vatican.
No, this was a SLU president.
Huh.
Well, folks, you probably know who I'm talking about.
We'll put the research department on it.
Let's
we'll
do that. Hit me up on Twitter, at George Sells. If you know who I'm talking about, please chime in. Anyway, credit to where credit is due in the sense that you have those SLU properties. A lot of those have been turned into, more entertainment oriented, that sort of thing, into housing, apartments for students. And now, of course, Cortex has come in and has grown from the other area, from just kind of down the way in that direction. You've got City Foundry that's just opened up down there that's, still finding its legs. Feel bad for those folks. They had this great plan, and it's still a great plan. It's just that it was all supposed to come to fruition right smack dab in the middle of what turned into the pandemic. Talk about just a brutal bit of timing for them, but that's going well, and they've got plans for that area too. And it this is all sort of expanding out that corridor. And the next step, had some conversations with some folks who are in the development business, and the next step in their eyes is to also be moving that corridor of technology and things tied to technology and housing and entertainment for people who work in technology, and basically connecting it up going north toward where the new NGA is going to be. And if you've driven up Jefferson anytime recently, past the fire headquarters there, and you get up Jefferson a little ways going north from Highway 40, you want to talk about something that is really starting to get big. That NGA facility is going to be something to see. It already is something to see. I would highly recommend just take a spin up there and take a look. I mean, this thing is enormous. And the goal is to kind of interconnect all these areas, have a corridor of technology and technology related stuff going from NGA all the way down to where SLU is. And again, we were talking earlier about things transformative for St. Louis. And this is another set of circumstances. The Topgolf is not the big piece in the puzzle, but it's a piece of the puzzle. It's just one more of these things. And you're saying to yourself, golf. I don't play golf. I don't play golf either. It's entertainment, though. And you don't have to play golf to go to this place. It's pretty fun. I've been a couple times out there in Chesterfield, heard good things about it. My son loves it. He doesn't play golf. He likes to go there. So whatever. The point is, you are creating an environment that is attractive to young professionals. And those young professionals might be coming here from another state. Those young professionals might be your own kids
who are making a decision as to, I'm in college now, am I going to move to New York, LA, Austin, Texas, Chicago, or maybe come back and be here at home where I grew up? And things like this and this overall sort of plan of action that many in power have, both from the political side and the business side, it is all designed to keep those people here. Keep those young people here. My kid's 16 years old. Yeah, so 2 years from now, he's gonzo. He's heading for college. It would be nice for me, for my wife, to have him want to come back. You know? He might not. Who knows? Don't know what he's going to do for a living. You know, don't know where his dreams will take him. But as somebody who lives here, it's like, yeah, it'd be kind of nice if the kid would come back and hang around for a little while. Spend a little more time. Can't beat that. This is all where that's going. So cheers to Topgolf and that sexy city planning commission. It's 8:56 on KMLX.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.